Welcome to The Parent Equation with me, Aisha Murray, the podcast series where working parents share their unique stories of raising a family alongside their careers. The conversations I'm privileged to have are inspiring, uplifting, emotive, and most of all, honest. So I hope you enjoy listening as much as I enjoy recording them. So today on The Parent Equation, I have the pleasure of being joined by Chris Larson, direct from North Carolina, I believe. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. Perfect. Asheville, North Carolina.
Perfect. Chris is a dad of two from North Carolina. A dadpreneur. So obviously we can talk about how you went from your corporate role into what now is your new role and why you did it. Two children, I think similar age to mine, actually. Mine are 12 and 7. I think they might be similar age, or the older one might be similar age. And essentially you quit your six-figure career to retire. Now, the thing about retiring is, I looked this up before we spoke, to retire in the dictionary means to withdraw from action or danger. So
we do not like that term.
Exactly. We do not want to withdraw from action. I don't think that's what retiring should be. So welcome, Chris. Thank you so much. And maybe the first thing is, what was the catalyst, I guess? What was the catalyst for making the decision to leave a successful career and not retire?
Yeah, so thank you for that. And it's great to connect here across the pond, as we say, right? Yeah. the beautiful thing about technology. I absolutely love it. And yeah, so I don't like the word retire. Mm-hmm. I think it's a concept that, you know, is 100 years old, over 100 years old, that doesn't suit us very well, especially in what I like to call the abundant world we live in, right? I mean, when we can talk about living to potentially twice what people 100 years ago thought that they would live to, and we can do so much more in our lives. So I like to talk about being financially independent. And really the story about me leaving the corporate world, leaving my career, and I spent almost 18 years in the medical device industry, or I spent 18 years, if you include a couple of years in the pharmaceutical industry. But my father passed away when he was 41, when I was 5 years old. And it didn't really dawn on me until I turned 41 a couple of years ago. And all this stuff happened like around that time. And I think in the back of my head, I had this timeline where I said, I've got to get this done if I don't live to be past 41 when my father died. But that year I turned 41, I decided, and fortunately we put some things in place, but I decided to leave myself. And I even still wince a little bit when you hear leaving that six figure career, because I was making $300,000 or $400,000 a year. I was making good money on average. I had some really good years in there. And as one of my friends put it, he said, "What do you hate money, Chris? Like, why are you leaving this?" But the fact of the matter is, there are things that are more important than me. Yeah. And the big thing is time with my boys. Mm-hmm. And I knew my boys are 10 and 12 now. So we've got two older that are about the same age here. He's only probably going to be in the house another 6 years or so. And to think that, you know, missing just one moment that I won't be able to get back with either of my boys was very painful. But then the other thing that I've come to realize is that I have more to do than just go be a professional, a manager, a leader, you know, whatever you might call somebody that is out there in the corporate world. But I had more things that I can accomplish. And what's interesting is I have more time with my family. Yeah. I am making a bigger impact in the world. And I've actually gotten to the point where I'm now making more money than I made before as well, from multiple different sources.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing, actually. It's multiple sources. I think the corporate careers that many of us have, we often fall into them. We're expected, we'll just do that job in different guises for 20, 30, 40 years. And actually, when you break that apart and you take that brave step, and it is brave, it's courageous to say, actually, do you know what? I'm going to do something differently. And then you experiment with different, nerve-wracking. And then you experiment with different things, different opportunities, and you're curious about what life could be, what life could bring you. Then, as you say, you can still have a successful life, you know, if income is a success measure for you, in multiple different ways. But surely, and you're proof of this, isn't that not more interesting to have multiple fingers in multiple pies, I guess, than maybe sticking to the one thing you're used to?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And, you know, what I like to say is that with financial independence comes the ability to live your best life, because when you're not restrained by having to operate in a world where you, some days you're doing things that you want to do, some days you're doing things that you don't want to do. Every day you get up and you go do what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
And interesting is you, when you get to the point where you don't have to go to work for a paycheck anymore, you're kind of forced to think, hey, what am I meant to do? Mm-hmm. And you end up having to live a bigger life. It's like your duty when you have this ability to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, I talk about this, you know, my whole story in my book, which by the way, I should have mentioned this at the top show. If you're listening today, you can get it anywhere in the world. You can download it for free. nextlevelincome.com/book. Just click on the book link. If you're in North America, I'll send you a copy as well to put your address in.
Perfect. Thank you. I'll have one. You can send one across the pond to the UK.
Absolutely. So if, we can make an exception.
Thank you. So if, like many of my coaching clients who are also in the same situation, they want to break free, I suppose, from sort of corporate shackles and maybe start something on their own. But we all have commitments. We have mortgages, kids, fees, bills, you know, all the rest of it, especially at the moment, this cost of living crisis that we all seem to be in. How can people who are in this situation create a catalyst or take a courageous step without potentially risking their financial stability?
That is a great question. So we can walk through kind of what I did, what my wife did as well, through that process. And you mentioned Break Free, great Queen song, by the way. So yeah, if you're looking to break free from kind of these corporate shackles. So first off, a lot of people love the careers that they built for themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, you can create an abundant life. You can create a financially independent life or have that financial independence multiple different ways. So just want to say that some people may be thinking, well, I love what I do. And that's amazing. Right. But figure out how to create alternative sources of income. So you're not, you know, potentially at risk if something happens to that company or that position. But listen, if you have a family, we talk about the make, keep, and grow strategy here at Next Level Income. So step one is make more money. And so my wife is a good example. She's an architect and she was working for an architecture firm and she was doing okay, but she was working part-time. And you know, when we added it all up, we actually lost money for her working when you took away taxes and daycare and you know, all these expenses. And it's like, well, this doesn't make any sense. So we said, well, what can we do? So what she did was she started on the side her own business and took her career. So if you're out there and you say, hey, I want to do this, but I have to work. Well, first off, I have a great blog talking about 20 to 40 hours more a week. So one, you have to prioritize. So my wife would work in the morning and the evenings on the weekends, which again was a sacrifice at the time, but she built up a book of business that she could then, you know, replace some of her income. But then it comes to a point where you've chosen like what your skill is or what your business is going to be. And then you make the time to do that. The real scary part, as we mentioned earlier, is when do you pull back on the corporate career and when do you lean full force into your new business? And look, after spending 18 years getting a paycheck, even though I was full commission, which a lot of people think that's crazy for most of my career, it's scary. And you have to have a good plan. You have to have faith that what you can do is going to work. But when you reach that point, you know, some of the things that you can do are you can save up a year's worth of expenses in the bank. You know, so you have that. If you have a spouse, you can discuss with them how you guys are going to make it work. You know, and one of the big things is part of the make part of the strategy is figure out what your annual and what your monthly expenses are. And you can start to kind of pare those down. So you kind of go back before you go forward. So once you get your expenses under control, once you figure out how much money you need to make, and this can be from a second career or it can be from investments. You could also build up an investment portfolio like we talk about. Then once you get to that point where you say, okay, I have enough business coming in where I can cover my basic expenses or replace my income, or we have enough in the bank because we've saved from, you know, those extra jobs, then you can take that step, make that leap, and you have that safety net. So you're making a leap with a safety net underneath of you. And you know, even if you fall, if you got a safety net, you'll bounce and then you can get back up and hopefully keep moving forward.
And the financially independent term is interesting because, again, my clients, I have mothers and fathers in sort of generally career change mindset is why they sort of often come to me. And this is not just my thing, obviously, business gurus have told me over the years that actually when you're working out your numbers and what you need to earn and what you want to earn, so two different living levels, what covers you and then what do you actually really want to aspire to. Also, even if you're in a happy partnership where you have two incomes, two steady incomes, what does it actually mean or look like to be financially independent, whether you're the mother or the father, doesn't matter. But can you stand on your own two feet if you're on your own for whatever reason? But could you pay your bills, pay your childcare, still have a life when it's just your own single income? And that actually, we get sort of used to just being on a treadmill, don't we? If we have, whatever income we're used to. But actually, if the worst came to worst and you were suddenly on your own, could you manage? Would you be confident that you are financially independent? And so I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. But it's quite scary because almost saying independent feels, well, in me, it feels like suddenly I'm alone and, oh my God, it's all on my shoulders.
Yeah, so there's a lot of interesting. Yeah, so
how can you take that
psychology
away, that burden away?
Yes. So let's get rid of the independent part. So you don't have to do anything all by yourself. You don't have to do anything alone. I think first step, obviously, if people are listening to your show, if they're working with you, Aisha, they have a great resource. And that's the first thing you want to do. Find somebody that can help you model out this process, that can give you a plan, that can give you the resources, but then most importantly, give you the accountability.
Yeah.
And along with that accountability, a community also is very important. So when we talk to people, you talk to people who, have lived their entire lives, they're on their deathbed. They don't talk about how much money they made. They don't talk about, wishing they worked more. They talk about community. They talk about relationships. So make sure you have built a community and you have. Podcasting has been wonderful for me as I've gone through this transition, because we get to do, great things like this show. I also have coaching clients. So I found this to be one of the most important things I've done. Not only do I have a coach, I have somebody that I can look up to that can kind of lead me forward, but I also have a group of coaching clients that I can lead as well. And what happens is I have the accountability from my coach, and I also have the accountability from my coaching clients because they expect me to perform a certain way. And also I'm trying to always learn and get better. I write them a weekly newsletter. They read that, they digest it. I see what troubles they're going through. And look, being a coach is no more than being in the same book of life, but maybe being a chapter ahead that you can then help strive for people forward. So again, number one, find somebody that can help you in this process. Help put the resources in place, and then ultimate accountability. That's really going to help you, in this transition if you're looking to make that.
Yeah. And I think it's also small steps, isn't it? You don't have to decide overnight that you're suddenly going to, radically make a change, throw everything away.
That's probably not a healthy choice if you decide overnight. No. Yeah.
So you can do it in a measured, considered. You can be
hired overnight, but don't do it overnight.
Yeah, please don't blame us if you do it overnight and it doesn't work out.
I think it's that
small steps, and that small planning, consideration, due diligence, research, eyes wide open, all of those things, which we talk about as coaches anyway, until you're at a point where you feel you can give it your best shot with the confidence that hopefully it will work. I suppose that's the nirvana.
Absolutely. And when you do make that choice, you have to do it with full confidence. So that's the thing. It's like anything. If you go halfway, if you're jumping across, as we were saying, this gap, and you half jump, you're going to half make it, so you have to decide. Yep. And again, that's where the safety net comes in. If you have that confidence that you have enough of a safety net built up, or you have a plan that's going to give you that, it's terrific. And what's interesting is I think a lot of people, whatever your skill set is, whatever your business is, you have something very valuable to offer the world. Your story is very valuable. Your coaching, your experiences are very valuable. And if you're a professional, I was a sales professional for a lot of years, the things that I learned, I was able to teach a lot of people over the years, and they'd say, oh, well, this is great. Well, it's easy if you've done it for 15 years longer than somebody, you just share that with them. But don't forget that your experiences are very valuable.
Yeah.
So you need to go out and offer that. And then see. So if you're freaking out, if you're like, I don't know if I can do this, just put it out there. Mm-hmm. When I started my coaching business, I said, hey, who's interested? And I got twice the number of people I thought I would come back. And that gave me a ton of confidence. So put it out there.
Yeah. And there's no harm. No, actually, and everybody wants to help. That's the one thing I have experienced in the last few years of running my own business. Everyone wants to help. Everyone wants to talk. everyone's supportive. Everyone wants to see you succeed. So without asking, you won't get, basically.
Exactly. Great advice.
When it comes to your children, do you think, I mean, they're a bit, maybe a bit too young potentially, do you think they noticed the difference in dad when he went from corporate, full on corporate, to running his own thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think they now know what I do. Mm. They also knew they kind of knew my identity before. I spent a lot of time in the OR, and I would go into their classes and kind of talk a little bit about what I did, because I thought it was really neat, because I didn't learn about this career in medical device, sales or engineering, whatever you might talk about. But yeah, I think my boys know what mine is in life. Mm. I take them, like when we go, so we do a lot of real estate acquisitions. Mm. So I will take them to the cities, to the areas that we make acquisitions. We'll have conversations about these things. But we also talk about the meaning behind it. And then we also talk about what the financial rewards allow us to do. Mm. So, you know, we talk about, if we go on a nice trip, or if they get something and we say, hey, you know, if I have to leave for a period of time, and they're like, oh, dad, you know, I miss you. And we talk about why I'm doing it and what that means. And, and we also try to relate it to things that they do. So, you know, it's like sports. You know, you may go, you may practice, you may run, you may not like what you do every day, but you like the results of that. For instance, being able to win a game or a tournament to that. So I continue to try to relate those things, you know, to my boys, but then they also understand, although I don't think they fully appreciate, you know, like today I'm going to be leaving at 4 o'clock to take my boys to lacrosse practice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they realize that not everybody has that ability. But we do try to have those conversations and share with them, the attitude of being grateful.
Mm-hmm. And do you think then, I imagine it's the answer will be yes. Do you think then by them witnessing your change and the flexibility that you now obviously have as part of this, do you think that would influence the decisions they make around their careers as they grow?
So I think a lot about this, and I shared a link with you here before the show, nextlevelincome.com/kids. Mm-hmm. So we talk about 5 steps that we've used for our boys to set them up for financial success. Mm-hmm. And the last of those steps, which is kind of like a graduate level step, is teaching your children the value of college. And when I say value, I mean, you know, how much does college cost? What are they going to get out of it? And what are the career options that are out there? So I think my boys now, when we talk about making money, when we talk about working, we also introduce the concept of, hey, what if you had your own business? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, my boys seeing two parents that are entrepreneurs that run their own businesses on a daily basis, they see that. So again, if you are somebody that said, well, Chris, I don't have my own business. Mm-hmm. I can't. Sure, you can. You can talk about people that they admire. You know, my boys, there was a question about who do you admire? And I asked my older son that, and he said Elon Musk. And I was like, oh wow, like what? Kind of interesting, because he's buying Twitter, and, you know, he's been in the news a bunch lately. Yeah. And I was like, oh, why is that? Some people like Elon, people don't. Okay. But he talked about SpaceX. He talked about, you know, sending people into space. He talked about building Tesla and being successful at that. So you can also talk about, you know, business figures that are out in the community. Talk about, you know, this. So your children understand that there's an option to become a professional, to go and work for somebody, but there's also the ability to create to create businesses out there as well. I think that's really important.
Yeah. And building that confidence in them from a young age, that if they want to do that in the future when it's right for them, that they can absolutely do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So at least they know it's a path that's out there and available to them. And then as parents, what's interesting, if you look at really successful entrepreneurs that are out there, one of the things that I've found in common is they have a lot of white space. So they have the ability to think, to come up with concepts and ideas. Yeah. And if you look at like a Bill Gates, or you look at like a Mark Zuckerberg, a lot of these individuals, they had parents that were financially supportive of them. And they knew that they had this ability to take risks. So if you want to grow a child that turns into an entrepreneur, the more financially sound your life is, the ability to give your children that financial footing can give them more opportunities in life. So it goes hand in hand. It's not just sending your kid off to school. It's making sure that they understand the value of it, the options that are out there, and then hopefully giving them the financial support in some way, shape, or form, which I'm not saying just give them a bunch of money. And if you read through my five steps, you'll understand that's not what we do with our kids either.
Yeah. Well, let's go into five steps, and I'll share the link obviously anyway after this in the show notes. But the five steps, so one of the things that just came to mind while you were talking about white space and thinking is obviously children at whatever age should start. If you encourage them to start their own businesses young, whatever that could be, selling lemonade, it could be, my daughter's an artist, so she's trying to sell her art now via Instagram.
Awesome. Yes.
Which is great. And this doesn't matter if she sells one for a few pounds or a few dollars, it's fine, doesn't matter. It's just getting into the mindset of creating something. How do you market it? How do you send it to someone? How do you fulfill all these things, which, you know, with the world of Amazon, they don't even need to think about anymore. It arrives on their doorstep. Oh,
it's incredible. It's so incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it means they don't think about the process. They kind of click a button online, the next morning it's outside the front door and they have no idea how it got there. So I think it is
like magic. It really
is. It is like magic. Exactly. But it's obviously not magic and there's a huge process behind it. So I imagine you do advocate children at whatever age is relevant for them to start some kind of business thinking?
Yeah. And what's wild is we're kind of going through my five steps in reverse. So step five was teach your children about the value and cost of college. Mm-hmm. Step four is help your children start a business. So I had my boys, they started a jump rope business 4 or so years ago. And the story was, I was at the gym and I wanted a jump rope and there's no jump ropes for sale there. And the boys wanted to make money and we started, you know, hey, what could you do to make money? Like, what's a little business you could do? And lemonade stand was one of them. They were talking about selling like rocks or gems, which I thought was kind of cool. Yeah. And I said, what about selling jump ropes? So I helped them buy jump ropes. We sourced them directly. I think we paid about $2 a piece. Yeah. And they sell them for $10. So I think it's wonderful because you learn about financing, you learn about investing, you know, investing that initial capital. You learn about sales and marketing. You also learn about customer service because you know, you have to fulfill those things. So I think that is an amazing step. I also talk about investing. So teaching your children about investing, and I go through how you can start a custodian account. We have Roth IRAs for our boys. So once your children are starting to make money, they can actually start investing into a Roth IRA here in the United States, which is kind of cool. And I know there's a lot of different options in other different countries. So then that leads us to the first two, which is pay your children.
Yeah.
So we have a salary and that's the allowance that my children get. Yeah. They get $1 a day and then they get to compare how much they make from their salary, if they do all their jobs around the house, to their business, as well as their investing. So you're teaching your children about all these ways of making money. And before you start any of that, number one is you have to have conversations with your children, start bank accounts, take them to the bank, get a bank account started with them, and just start having these financial conversations. And again, this goes back to why I have a coach and why I coach. If you're shaking your head and saying, Chris, I don't know enough about this to teach my children, it's your turn to educate yourself and learn about a few of these things and then start teaching your children. They don't know what you know at this point, but when you do teach them, they'll really appreciate that. And then you can start exploring these things together, which can be just as rewarding.
Yeah. And I think it has got easier. So with things like, I'm not sure what you have in the States, but we have here Go Henry and Hyperjar. So the kids prepaid cards. So we have a similar system that they have their weekly allowance, which is a couple of pounds, but they only get that. I can pause it. It's all online. If they haven't done, they're just their normal.
You got to look into that. What is that called?
So the ones here, it's called Go Henry and Hyperjar.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's essentially a debit card, but it's a prepaid, preloaded debit card. So we put the money onto it and they save their money. And if they want, wherever they want to buy, they have to save up for it. They only get the money if they complete their general, if they just basically do what they're expected to do around the house, help with the dishwasher, help with the dog, all that kind of stuff. They get extra for specific jobs like mowing the lawn or washing the car. It's a separate job and they can get extra money for that. But the interesting thing is seeing their money just tick up because they can see the app as well. So seeing their money go up week by week or get paused if they haven't done what they're supposed to have done And then realizing that it'll take 8 weeks to save up for the thing that they want to buy. It's that,
so valuable.
I think, yeah, exactly. As you say, it's just getting that thought process really early on, as basically money doesn't grow on trees.
Exactly.
You know, it is exactly. earned, and it's sometimes hard work to get it. And you sometimes overspend and you think, oh God, I need to earn some more. So it doesn't just sort of reappear once you've spent it on something. So I think that's, I'm sure that must be the first step of sort of financial independence, I guess, is that early understanding.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, if you can teach your children about earning money in multiple ways, spending money, saving money, you ultimately teach that discipline. And then you can institute your own family rules. Mm. You know, like, how much money do you save? Is it, you know, how many do you tithe? Is it 10%? You save 20%, 50%. How much is it? These things are all so valuable to teach your children. Financial literacy, unfortunately, it's not something we can depend upon being taught in our schools. We have to go out there and educate ourselves and ultimately teach our children that ourselves.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, because I think schools certainly, since I was at school, 1980 something or other, it's changed dramatically what they get taught now, you know, thank God, because it was not like that in my day when it had an old video player wheeled out on a trolley. You had to watch some video rather than being taught it. But you're absolutely right. I don't think, from what my kids tell me, there isn't any financial literacy taught. There is in the old school maths concepts of, you know, you've got 50p, how many sweets can you buy? You know, old school kind of maths.
Right.
But the actual putting it into practice beyond the theory, I don't think it does exist, does it really?
No, there are some, like Florida did a financial literacy program. We have one here with a local nonprofit that we do. But I mean, the wonderful thing is there's a ton of resources out there that are free. And you know, you can EverFi, E-V-E-R-F-I, E-V-E-R-F-I, yep, is one of the programs that we use here locally with the nonprofit. You can actually go on YouTube. Ramit Sethi has a great platform called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. All of these things can cascade down to your children. And you know, most children, once they're in middle or high school, are mature enough that they can understand these concepts and utilize these tools that are built for adults. So it's something, obviously we have our platform at nextlevelincome.com is built kind of for, you know, more for getting to the next level of building streams of passive income, but we teach a ton of stuff on our podcast as well. And even talk about simple concepts like, should you pay off your mortgage? You know, does that make sense for most people? As well as using, you know, other more advanced techniques like life insurance for parents, and you can use that for things like saving for college or investing.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's potentially quite daunting for adults to get their head around all the potential, I suppose, financial pitfalls, opportunities, etc. And as you said before, it might be some self-education first before we then disseminate and cascade it down in a way that's accessible for our children.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, that's why, you know, podcasts like this are so valuable, that we have all these opportunities out there that we just didn't have. Like there wasn't, you know, there wasn't YouTube, there wasn't the internet until I was in high school and college to do all that stuff. But now we have a ton of stuff, which is important. You have to give your children some framework and some boundaries, because there is a lot of stuff out there. And just like anything on the internet, you want to make sure that they have the mental framework built so that they can interpret what's out there and they're not taken advantage of.
Well, that's the thing, is there is some sort of quite risky business, I imagine, if you're looking in the wrong places when it comes to finances. So how like would anything, you, I suppose, when you're, as your kids get older, so they're 12 and 10 now, you said, when they, in the next sort of 6-7 years, as they in theory leave home, as you said, after 6 more years, what would you like them to look back on now and think, that's what dad stood for? That's why dad did what he did.
Ooh, that's a great question. So we have our own Larson family rules. So if you look at those, you know, things like tell the truth, be kind. We talk about following directions, which could be interpreted, you know, like don't break the law, like, you know, follow, you know, follow the law. But in our house, you know, they have to follow our family, our rules, our directions. And then also the last one is do your best. So I think really that that probably is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we are all given a certain talent, certain intellect, certain resources. You know, if you look back and say, well, you know, hey, Chris, you had a certain head start for these different reasons, but you know, it's not certainly not helpful to lose a parent at a young age. Mm-hmm. You know, we can talk about the pluses and minuses, but what's important is I want my children to look back and say, hey, I was given this, but I did my best every day with the resources that I had. Mm. And I think if you apply this and society applies this, the world would be a dramatically different place. Mm. When we stop trying to do our best in the moment, and for different people at different times, like I did not feel well last Monday. My best last Monday was not a lot. I slept extra. I canceled some appointments, but I did the best in that day. And the best that I had to do is to get myself healthy. But if we do the best and we stop looking and blaming other people and saying, oh, I can't do this, or that person has more than me, or, you know, that person can't do this because they have less. Mm-hmm. What if we all focused on doing our best every day in terms of education, in terms of the way we treat other people, in terms of the way we handle our finances and our time, mm-hmm. in terms of the way that we treat our bodies with nutrition? So no matter what they do, no matter if they end up an artist, mm-hmm. you're talking about your daughter, yep. an athlete, you know, a business person, a professional, as long as they do their best, if I can instill that upon them, that would be amazing.
I think that's it, isn't it? I think you've wrapped it up. I always love it when guests naturally sort of end on, usually, which in this case absolutely is, some amazing words of wisdom. And it always gives me straight in my mind, I know exactly which snippet I'm going to use to promote this podcast. If that's the last minute of this recording. So thank you so much, Chris. Where can people find out more about you, about your business, etc., online?
Yeah. So if you want to learn a little bit more about me and everything that we do at nextlevelincome.com, you just want to get some more education for yourself, go to nextlevelincome.com. Be sure to click on the book link, get a free copy of the book. Mm-hmm. You can check out our podcast, our blog, ton of resources, everything mm-hmm. up there, including the book, is accessible for free. If you are interested in learning more about the investment opportunities that we have and how we help others create additional streams of passive income, you can also click on the invest link and learn more there.
Perfect. And I imagine I can see maybe on the horizon some more kid-related product coming out of this conversation. Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It's a huge driver for what we do. My partner, Danny Rendazzo, he's got some kids books up there, which I think they may be in the, I think they may be at the bottom of, they are, they're at the bottom of the website I gave before, nextlevelincome.com/kids. And just really straightforward, simple steps and lessons that you can teach your children, whether they're 5 years old or 15 years old.
Yeah, perfect. I'll go and look at that immediately. Thank you so much, Chris. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Absolutely. This has been a blast. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Parent Equation. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review, as every little really does help. You can find me at aishamurray.com or join my Facebook group, The Working Parent Equation, where you'll be part of a great community of like-minded parents, and you're most welcome. Until next time.